Thank you, Jim. Pastor Jim. Oh, good morning. It is nice to be here with you today. I need my notes because I need to keep it together because I'm just so touched by God's presence here today. And I believe that the next step of what the Lord wants to do is actually what he's spoken to me to share with you today. And even if it's just for one person, that's enough for me because I'm just to be his servant, his messenger. And so I am just so humbled and grateful to be with you today for these next few moments. And as well, for those of you who know me, some were asking before, oh, are you going to give an update? It's like, yes, I'll give a little update. As those who know, I was a missionary in France for almost 9-10 years, and I am back for a season in the States. I am finishing up a degree in mental health counseling, and I'm working as a counselor in training at the Christian Counseling Center in the area, and I'm becoming a trauma-informed therapist so that I can help those who have experienced a lot of really painful things. And really this came forth out of the anti-trafficking work that I was doing in France and just how much we need people who love Jesus and who can walk in the deep, dark areas of pain and suffering with those who really hunger for healing. And so this was the step of faith to come back and to just see what God would have me do. And so I am here, and I am so blessed to be walking alongside so many wonderful people as their counselor, but I am also here to serve. And so I love the opportunity to share God's word. That was something that was instilled in me from a very young age, and it was because of this place. It was because of people here that shared with me their love for God's word that it is just, I'm bursting at the seams with excitement. I love Jesus. I love his word, and I'm praying that that is also the way you feel. And if you don't, the first step is just to admit it and ask God to come. Ask him to show you who he is and what he's up to and what he wants to do individually for you, but also corporately for all of us, because this is the family. This is the family of God. And so I'm here for this season, as I mentioned. I'm continuing to still work with the ministry in France. I'm helping Project Rescue with various projects, and so was part of an African toolkit that is actually for pastors of churches in Africa to help, because many of the women I was working with on the streets of France who were trapped in prostitution, a lot of them are coming from Africa, and we need the churches in Africa to be ready to be helping their people before they end up in Europe, before they end up trafficked and in suffering. And as well was helping with a training recently for the seminary in Belgium that we're connected with. And so I'm excited to see that God is raising up people who are passionate about helping people who are stuck in prostitution, because God cares about those people way more than I do, way more than any of us can. And so he is raising up his church to stand up and to go out into those dark areas to help. And so that's just a little bit about what I've been up to. And now I want to jump into God's word. And so if you would just bow your heads with me for just a moment, let's just ask God for just his help right now. Heavenly Father, you are good and you do good. And Lord, I believe that there are some people that need to see and experience your goodness today. God, I don't want to get in the way of what you're doing. And so help me to use my notes to stay focused. But God, would you just come? We already know that you're here. But in that invitation, we're just saying, have your way in this place. Help us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are open to what you want to do and say today for your people, for your church, for your sons and daughters, for those you've called yours. Thank you that you've called us your own. May we taste a little bit more of the sweet fruit that it is to know you and be known by you. In Jesus' name, amen. There was some research done in the early 2000s that was looking at the Christian college students and their relationship to God and how that informed their prayer life. And what this research ended up finding was that depending on how your connection, we could call it attachment, your bonding to God, that impacted the way you prayed or whether you prayed at all. And so in this research, they ended up finding that there were kind of three different categories that were divided up. And for one, it was this group that was really, in times of stress, they didn't seek out closeness with God. See, it was uncomfortable to feel the feels, to really own up to what you're thinking, and really it was kind of, they just wanted to run away from that. And so stress didn't help them run to God, it made them run away from Him and kind of take control of the situation. And then there was another category of people, and these were more anxiously kind of connected to God. There was this sense of kind of a fear of abandonment that really showed up in how they prayed. They would run to God because of that anxious connection, and they would want God's help, and they would be almost begging for it. God, would you help me? Would you just help me? I need this. Just this kind of helplessness and this sense that they needed to beg to get God to do what they needed. And really there was this idea that in some sense that God was the taskmaster, and if they sinned, then they would lose connection with Him. They would no longer be cherished and loved and adored. And so they would just any time would have to, they felt like this, the bond was fragile, that their connection to God was fragile. And so there was almost this frequent display, I'm dependent on you, God, I'm dependent on you, and I need you. And yet this anxiousness made it a less than desirable connection to God. And then they found that there was another group of people who were more connected, or what we could describe as a secure connection, a secure attachment to God. And what this research found was that they tended to use meditative, more conversational style in their prayer with God. When stress would come, they wouldn't avoid like the avoidant. They wouldn't come begging and so nervous to be able to be connected to God. They actually would come knowing that He was theirs, that they could rely on Him. They could be with Him, hear from Him, and also share what was on their hearts. It's interesting how our connection to God does impact the way we pray. And I'm curious for you, what is your connection like with God? How connected are you? Do you avoid? Are you anxiously kind of praying to Him? Do you flip-flop between both? Or would you say that you come and you can rest in His presence? See, I think we can jump between those three. And I believe that if we're to be the real church who is connected to the vine, who is connected to their Savior, to their King, that we need to, the one word that I got for this message today was wait. Wait. The Lord wants His people to wait on Him. That is a peace to abiding. And so today, as we jump into this, I'm only going to look at one verse today, but I want to highlight just for a few moments the broader idea of waiting on the Lord. If you were to look, man, we could spend so much time and it would be so fun, but I would bore you to tears perhaps on just looking at how many scriptures talk about waiting on the Lord and what that means. It's about being connected to Jesus. It's about being connected to God. And there are promises connected to the waiting. And so in Scripture, if you just look up waiting on the Lord, it's the idea of waiting for Him as your God of salvation. It's waiting on Him as the giver of blessings. Does anybody want to be blessed today? I mean, life is hard and we need to see the goodness of God. And when you wait, you will receive goodness from the Lord. We wait for His mercy, Scripture says, for His forgiveness, guidance, and teaching. We wait on Him for protection. We wait for Him to fulfill His promises. Is anybody waiting for a promise to be fulfilled? It's hard to wait. And yet Scripture tells us so often that we need to wait on the Lord. And when we do, we can have hope and confidence. Every day, we're to wait on Him. And when we do, He hears us. That's what Scripture says. When we wait, we experience His goodness. Our strength is renewed. These are just listing off some of the benefits of waiting on the Lord and the impact it has. So when we consider this waiting, I want to just look at one verse today from Psalm 37, and it's verse 7. If you have your Bible, you can take it out, but I'm just going to read it, and I know that's enough for some of you. But this is going to be the main focus for us today on this idea of waiting on the Lord. And just for context, because we don't want to take Scriptures out of context, a lot of people do some really weird things with Scripture, and we need to handle it properly and with respect and with honor, because this is God's Word. And so we need to find out, all right, I'm going to pull this Scripture out. We're going to talk about it. But what's the context? What's going on in this psalm? This is a psalm that was an acrostic poem using the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And it was to highlight, I'll read this quote, the main principles of a God-centered life in contrast with that of the wicked during a period of intense persecution. The psalmist is trying to reassure the audience that even though it looks like the wicked are winning, they will still inherit the land. This is a very practical psalm during a challenging time. Does it seem appropriate for you? Now let's read Psalm 37, verse 7. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. I want to look at the second part because we're going to spend a lot of time on this idea of waiting today. But I want us to just pay attention to what this psalmist is saying for a God-centered life. For the practical tips that you need for your life with Christ, he's saying to not focus on something and to focus on something else. Obviously, we see in the first part, we're supposed to have our attention and our focus on God. But he's saying, don't focus on those who are not following Him. Don't focus on the wicked who seem to be winning. That's not where your attention is supposed to be focused. I want you to focus on Me, is what I believe that God is saying. Because when we start to pay too much attention to what other people are doing, we start to take control of situations that we have no control over. And then we're just going to get frustrated. We're going to start spiraling in this thought of like, oh, it's so unfair. Oh, you look on social media and somebody has something that you want and you don't have. And so you're just focused on this idea of, oh, well, you know what? They're not doing this and they're not doing this. And we start this comparison game. And God today is saying, stop. Stop focusing here. Shift your focus on Me. Wait on Me for what you need. Wait on Me for the blessings that you're still desiring and asking Me for. Would you trust Me today? He doesn't want his children to be stuck in a spiral or stuck on a focus that is not bringing you life. We need to reject that tendency. And just to be totally honest, I recognized as I was reviewing my message last night that I was getting stuck in that spiral. I was thinking about something that really frustrated me. I was like, goodness, that's just not right, Lord. And I know I just have to let it go and just, you know, release it and trust you. But I'm frustrated and I just kept going around. And then it's like, Joy, what are you preaching on tomorrow? You know, it's like, you know what? I need to shift my focus from that frustration, from something that wasn't right, that was unjust. And now I'm to focus on the one who has control of my life, who does know the beginning, knows the beginning and the end. He wants us to focus on him. And so in this, now if we were just to pay attention to the first part of this verse, this idea of being still before the Lord and waiting patiently for him. The be still is really just basically be silent. Waiting requires some silence. Some will say that this is a wait like resting. I do not think this is like the many times in the airport and my flight is delayed and I'm stuck waiting, hoping that the plane is going to get here and then I can get on it and get to my next destination. That is a torturous type of waiting. Has anybody been there? I have been stuck overnight because of tornadoes, or I can't remember what it was, in Texas at one point. That was a torturous waiting. This is not what God is saying here. This does require some silence. It does require you to pause. But just as I've mentioned before in previous sermons, this is an invitation. It is an invitation for you, as Andrew Murray explains, time with God, this abiding in him, that's like a child coming to sit on his mother's lap. That's the invitation to wait on the Lord, to rest in his arms. This is not the airport. This is also not the idea of waiting in the doctor's office for, you know, knowing that you're waiting for the results to be explained to you about what's going on, about what's wrong. No, this waiting is an opportunity to actually release the anxiety and the stress that you may be carrying. This is an opportunity to say, hey, God, you're in control, you're in charge, and I am not. Waiting requires a release of that anxiety that's connected to our lives. At the very least, it's bringing that anxiety, that concern, that stress to the Lord and letting him carry it for you. No words, no actions, just waiting. Releasing to God the situation. It's really, waiting is not only about the silence, it's not only about releasing the anxiety, it is also an act of surrender. It makes me think of Romans 12 and this idea that we are to be living sacrifices. We are to get up on the altar every day. We are to say, yes, Lord. It takes a yes, not just once, but it's a daily yes to him. And so in this, waiting on him, it's choosing not just focusing on the people who are not doing what you think they should be doing or who have what you want. It is also not running to other things to cope with how you're feeling. It is not just running to other people first. It's running to God. It's having that reaction that I'm gonna wait on the Lord. This was a crummy day, and I need to go to where I can find some peace and some rest and release what's going on. Even if it's just for 30 seconds or a minute, he wants us to come and approach him and just be with him. Rather than running to sugar, because it's so delicious and wonderful, right? And you just want that pick-me-up that we can talk about all the brain science and what's going on there when you do. It's more than going and just scrolling through and just numbing out and just looking at social media and that not really being helpful anyway. It's more than going to just watch something on TV or on whatever streaming service you have. It's It's waiting instead of those things as well. Because when we surrender, there is that release of control. There is, you're not in the driver's seat when you start praying. And yet, I don't think we really pray like that very often. We've got our list, or at least some of you do, and you're like, okay, I gotta get through, I gotta pray for everybody today, I gotta read my Bible, and I've gotta do this, and so you are driving the bus. And God is wanting to say, hello. Actually, I'm the one in the driver's seat. You just keep thinking you are. Would you wait on me to direct your time with me? He knows what we need far better than we think we do. And so in this, it's about having a conversation that's not like a work meeting, that's not super structured and, okay, we got to get through this in this amount of time. No, I want you to imagine something so different. If you are a morning person and you can connect with God in the morning, fabulous. So then imagine going to that special spot, either in, you know, some chair that's comfortable, grabbing your tea or your coffee and just sitting with the Lord. That's what this waiting is about. It's not directing the conversation first. It's coming, saying, here I am. I'm going to wait on you. How do you want to direct my time with you today? Sometimes, or for a pretty good season, felt like when I was doing this, I was often just hearing the words, Joy, I love you. It was actually becoming a little bit frustrating because, like, I know you love me, Lord. I know. You know, you don't have to tell me again. And then as it kept coming and he kept just saying that to me, I realized that in many ways I know it here, but I don't know it here. And at times I can be that anxiously connected person who's just, God, you've got to help me. Oh, there's so much going on. Oh, God, you've got to help me. And he's wanting me to rest and just say, I know. I've got you. See, waiting is about, it's having this hope and expectation of who God is, of what he's wanting to do. And so asking him for help, allowing him to direct the conversation. You know, so often as I'm just sitting there waiting for him, and he says something to me that I usually need to hear before we start the conversation. But so often right now, I'm thinking of Ukraine. I'm thinking about the women and the children and the young men that are very vulnerable to traffickers in this time. And the Lord, I don't have to have it on my list. The Lord brings it to mind. And I'm praying for protection over those people, that they will find the right kind of help as they are refugees in other parts of Europe, that God will just put a shield around them, and that they will not be deceived by someone who is very kind and very generous and then taking their passport and then taking all these things and then sending them right into deep, horrible suffering and darkness. I don't have to have the list. God brings it to mind. And I believe that that's the way he wants to speak with some of us, because we are so focused on getting it done of the to-do list that we have forgotten what it means to just be his daughter or his son, to know him and be known by him, because those around us need to see real Christians, the real church, connected to the Savior, connected to their very good and very generous God. That's what he's wanting. And I believe for some of us, we need to hear the words from Brennan Manning of what he said. I love this this quote of his. Imagine Jesus saying this to you. I have a word for you. I know your whole life story. I know every skeleton in your closet. I know every moment of sin, shame, dishonesty, and the darkness that is in your past. Right now, I know your shallow faith, your feeble prayer life, your inconsistent discipleship. And my word is this. I dare you to trust that I love you just as you are, and not as you should be. Can you receive that word today? I love you just as you are and not as you should be. Can you see this, that what God wants to do is allow his transforming love to not include but we have to obey. Oh, but after this, you know, we have to give the qualifier about that unconditional love that he has for you, knowing all about who you are. And it is saying, I love you. Yes, my love transforms. Yes, when we love, we obey. Yes, there's all that beauty and richness in following Jesus. But can you just hear the words today? I love you just as you are and not as you should be. See, Jesus says in the Gospel of John that it's his sheep who hear his voice. And when we commit our lives to him, it gives us access to hearing from him. And sometimes we hear that nudge, we hear some word from the Lord, and sometimes it's just being in his presence. It's being known by God and getting to know him. And when we have this type of connection, there is hope. We can wait patiently because we know he's going to show up. He's not waiting for us. He's not going to fake us out. He's not going to just kidding. You know, this is for everybody else but you. I'm sorry. No, there's an expectation that he wants to communicate with you. Not just everybody else. You. And as well that you corporately. I believe that as I was just praying for this message, that word wait was so strong. And ultimately in this, the sense I had was that for some of you who normally just avoid God, it's hard to pray. It's hard to connect with him. It's hard to be open and honest about things. And when your stress is like, good gracious, that's not going to happen. And so you're just going to take control. You're going to seek security. You're going to do it yourself because that's all you know. And you've got to just, it's all on your shoulders. And God is saying, would you wait? Wait for me. This is a strong word to wait for those who are getting ahead of God. This is an expensive area, and I believe it is easy if you own a home to consider selling and getting out, cashing in and going. And I believe that there is a strong wait. Wait on me before you choose to take things into your own hands. Know that I'm the one that's calling you elsewhere. Or know all the more that he's calling you here for this time. Don't just jump to the next job because it seems good. Wait. Wait on the Lord to hear from him because things can look really great. And then you get there. And you and all your baggage is there. But then you find out, those people seemed a lot nicer than they are. Wait. But if you're the person who's constantly just like, I messed up. Oh, no, does God love me? And you know here that that's not really true, but you're kind of living like that. Your journal just shows all the, help me, God, you just have to help me. You know, just this urgency and this anxiety connected to who you relate, how you relate to God. See, he's saying, wait. He's gently saying, would you just come? Would you just be with me? Let's put aside the to-do list. Let's put aside those other things and just spend some time with me. Let me show you my goodness and let me calm your fears. Because just like the song we sang earlier, our fear doesn't stand a chance in the presence of his love. But if we're so, I've got to be the one talking all the time. I have to get through this. Taking a breath, saying, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust you in this. And so ultimately, I recognize that for some of us, it sounds good. Okay. I get it. We gotta wait. But I sit and I try and it's really hard. It's really hard. And I get that. I get that. And it's scary. It's scary to show up with our thoughts and our feelings and just God who knows us better than we know ourselves. And it's like, ugh, I don't know if I want to go there. And yet that is the invitation today. Will you come and rest with him? Will you release control, release and surrender to him so that he can do the deep work that's needed to be the real you? Fully his, fully known, so that you're not trying to perform and succeed in ways that God's not asking you to. He wants you to be with him, and then he gives you space to be that loving Christian with the world around you. It will give you energy and time to be on mission with our Savior, to share the good news with others, because we are daily connected to this good Savior. And so if I want you to kind of think about this in terms of how do you connect to God? Where are you the avoider? Are you the anxious one? Or do you kind of flip-flop? Sometimes you feel secure and sometimes you don't. And so I just have a few tips as I finish today. And I love the words of Thomas Aquinas. He says, we need a lot of images of God. See, all throughout Scripture, there's these pictures of who God is. And I can remember as a college student, I was telling Tom this a few months ago, that I remember his wife, Gwen, we were at her house for a small group with other students in college and young adults. And I just remember her starting to talk about how she pictures things when she prays. And she just connects to God in just pictures and the images of who he is. And there's all sorts of reminders of who God is throughout Scripture. And what I want to challenge you to do is rather than just sit there, or if you can't sit, then go on a walk. Don't take your phone, or take it, but put it on airplane mode just in case of emergency so your mom's not scared for you. But like just to just be silent before him, to take out the AirPods and listen to what God is saying. But amidst this, use an image of how God wants to come and show you an aspect of who he is. For some, it's really easy and you can connect so quickly with the Heavenly Father. For others, that is almost impossible. And so maybe you need to see him as the good shepherd of Psalm 23. And so as you sit before the Lord, you're picturing that you are that little lamb and he is that good shepherd. And every time you get off track, he's going to lovingly guide you. He's going to lead you by the still waters. And he's going to make you lie down, even in your anxious. And he's going to calm you down and let you rest. Maybe there are scriptures that compare God to like a hen with her baby chicks. Maybe that's the way that you can see, oh, there's something safe and wonderful about who God is. He is the lion and the lamb. And maybe that's the image that you need. Or he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Counselor. He's your guide. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whatever image you need to use as you connect with God, allow it to be something that you feel in your heart. It's not just an intellectual exercise, but it's, I'm going to connect with my Jesus today. He is the friend that's closer than a brother. And maybe you need to see him like that. And as you picture that, you're just sitting on the bench next to him. What is it for you that's going to help you have an image of who God is? I believe you can ask him. Because even it's like, oh, okay, yes, I know you love me, Lord. No. That's somewhere I need to camp a little bit more. That's something that he needs to keep reminding me, that I love you not as you are, just as you are. And not as you should be. I'm constantly saying, you don't love me just as I am, but you will once I'm who I should be. That's what I'm living very often, even if I wouldn't say that. Our actions speak louder than our thoughts and our words very often. And so using this image for a sense of safety and security with who God is, to learn to trust him, because if we're going to connect with God, we have to trust him. We have to believe that he's reliable, that he is all those omniscient, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent. This is who he is. And so you can trust him. You can trust him. Sometimes it means you're going to set an alarm 3 times a day and take a minute just to breathe and think of that picture of who God is and listen to what he wants to say. And then as you stuff comes up, oh, Lord, I'm concerned about this. Okay, then stop and listen. Then as you go further, okay, all right, we're going to, Lord, what do you want me to do? I will tell you, my life is not what I thought it would be. And you might think here, as I'm standing, that my life has been all hearts and roses and easy peasy, and, you know, it's an exciting adventure. It is an adventure, for sure, to follow Jesus. But I will say there has been much loss and much suffering that I have experienced personally. It is painful at times. And so I am not somebody that's just coming up here perfect, and I can just tell you what this is so that you can be like me. No, no. This is a journey that we are all on together. And we have all faced and are facing challenges. And the word today is, will you wait? Will you wait on the Lord? And I can't remember who Pete Scazzaro is quoting, but you know what? Every time that your mind wanders, can you be patient and just see it as an opportunity to return back to Jesus? Turning back to Jesus is always a good idea. And so if you get distracted as you're waiting still before the Lord, this is another chance. I get to see him again. I get to reconnect with him. This is a good thing. It reminds me of who's in control. And so we stop looking at what others are doing. We don't go to what others think that are going to bring us comfort. We go to the God of comfort and all wisdom and all power. We try and we turn off the noise. We set the alarm. We use pictures, or in the words of Sister Ming a long time ago, just 5 minutes a day. Just start with that. Can you start with just 5? Don't plan hours. You're not going to be able to do it if you're human like the rest of us. Just start with a few minutes. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to be silent. What do you want to say? What do you want me to sense? Just that you're here with me? Just trusting in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to take some time. We want to wait on you, even if it is just for a few moments to practice. God, I'm asking that each one would, for those who really can picture things, I know some, your imagination just doesn't work like that. But whatever it is, that felt sense that you're here with them, whatever the image is, I pray that you would show them who they need to see you as today and keep seeing you as that. And maybe it'll shift to something else because there's so many aspects of who you are. You are an amazing God. But Lord, would you just show each one what it is that, how they need to see you and how you see them. God, and would you help us to receive your words that I love you just as you are and not as you should be. Your unconditional love is accessible to all of us, and it's in your presence, tasting of that love. God, that your transformation happens. And we're so hungry for that. We need your transforming power in our lives, in the lives of others around us, in our workplaces, at our schools. But it starts with us. And so would you help us to do that? Let's just linger in his presence. Allow him to speak to you right now.
your eyes are still closed and your head's bowed, I'm going to, in this moment, just be singing and allowing you the ability to, if you would like, just to continue in this waiting. I just want to encourage you, don't rush off. There are things that will happen today. There's the Easter egg hunt right after, or Easter egg hunt. Egg stuffing that will happen right after this. There's lunch and other things that you have to do. But, you know, if you have to go, then by all means, feel free. But if you could use an opportunity just to wait. As I play and sing some songs, it is an open invitation for you to do so, or feel free just to listen. Listen to God through it all. Allow yourself an opportunity to hear Him. For my waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on You. I depend on You for the sun to rise, for my sleep at night. I depend on You, yes, I depend on You. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and You are the vine. Try teach me to abide. Where the Spirit leads, as I'm following, I depend. I depend on You for the victories still in front of me. I depend on You. Yes, I I enter rest. I depend on You. Yes, I depend on You. For eternal to be raised with Christ. I depend on You.
You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me. Treasure my prize. I am yours forever. You're mine. Draw me close and teach me to Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit. So lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. So lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Oh, and lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. In the shadow. So if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. So if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Oh, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Through the showers of mercy and grace, they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Oh, yes, Jesus reigns in this place. Through the showers of mercy and grace, they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm a branch and you are a vine. Draw me close, teach me to abide. Be my strength, song in the night. Be my hope, my treasure, my prize. Teach me to abide. I depend.
Well, throughout this place, God, I pray. We would allow ourselves an opportunity to hear. Maybe for some that's an audible voice. Maybe it's for some it's a remembrance of Scripture. Maybe it's for some it's feeling a sense that Jesus, you're there. You said that your sheep and your voice. And at times we begin wanting to take the lead in the sheep's pen. And we're thankful for the reminder today that there is only one shepherd. And that Jesus, that's you. I pray to God that these moments we are able to put aside our agenda and allow you to lead us. Your model was clear. We were to spend time with you, to seek you, to dwell with you, to love you, and then to be sent out as witnesses. To where? Wherever we're going. That could be across the street to a restaurant today. At home, maybe we see a neighbor. Jesus, I know you are telling us, go be a witness there. Forgive us, God, when we complicate everything. That we would abide in you, allow you to lead us and guide us. And when we are filled up, that we would go and we would be a witness to all the good that you've done in our lives. That we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We have a future. Regardless of where we came from, we have a future and a hope, and it's you, Lord Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. There's an eternity that we look forward to and we know is coming, but this world doesn't. I pray that we would take these moments to abide in you, to seek you. And as we're sent out, that's in a high school classroom, maybe that's in a Stanford campus, a corporate building, God, that we would be your witness. Jesus, that you would be with us, that your perfect love would cast out all fear, that we would not be fearful. All we've got to do is testify to what you've done in our lives. And teach us, Holy God, to abide in you. May you be glorified. May we go from this place never the same. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.